Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
If I am you, and you are me, then let's explore the unity, the harmony never conceived before, so sure doors closed, now bulldozed by possibility, my reality reordered by divine order that transcends, ascends who and what I used to be, a mere vessel of personality. Too small to contain, too small to restrain, a content too infinite to define, too magnificent to confine, too perfect to refine, too precious not to align with the truth of my being. Now seeing with fresh new eyes, the lies no longer capturing my attention. A new comprehension of a dimension of purity that opens my heart to our unity. If I am you and you are me, then where is the unity, the responsibility to dare to care for one another? No cover can camouflage our connection. The detection defies rejection. No objection can force my defection, no more dejection of what I know to be true. You are me, and I am you. A truth so simply true that it escapes our imagination, our affirmation, our determination to live like we know what we know. No more spiritual amnesia, a seizure that has us convulsing with the pulse of the world at a beat so steady that it makes us wonder if we are ready to step to the drummer inside. Step on with the rhythm that says that we are marching together, and whether fair or foul, through sunshine and storms, causation and forms, we acknowledge each other's existence, no longer pretending like I don't see you. 2 inches from me in the elevator. Standing next to me in the grocery line, no longer acting like what happens to you and your family bears no reality on my health and well-being. Now decreeing that our interconnectedness creates a nest in my heart that hatches a love that remains no matter the strains on our relationship. I don't have to like you to love you. And I am the people that I don't like. And with enough foresight, I'll grow to love the you that's me. And even if it's hindsight, It still guides my vision, informs my decision to stay open and concerned when I've been burned or returned to someplace I couldn't forgive before. Yet the doors, once closed, are bulldozed into possibility, reordering my reality with an order so divine that all I can do is shine. Remind myself of our unity born out of our divinity, which only needs an opportunity to just be. Be what? Be everything, especially one with you. If I am you, okay, and you are me, then where is the unity? The sense of urgency that says that our fates, intertwined by divine design, can't wait until I am ready to do what I ought. My heart caught in a thicket of indifference, can't wait to feel what I should or release what I could have done. Don't sing me no blues, bombard me with the news, for I refuse to be jaded, persuaded into defiling our oneness through condemnation and separation. Our liberation is in the revelation that I am you and you are me, and that together we are one people. I won't forget that you are not a threat to my being who I am meant to be. You cannot hinder my authenticity. If I am you, and you are me, then where is the unity, the harmony, the dignity?
Years, not in laughter or tears, triumphs or fears.
Let our legacy be our unity, left behind for all to see, a legacy of unity. Alive, available today for all to be.
That future, that is the prayer, is we say yes to our unity. We are one, and we need each other. We are each other. When you recognize, remember your oneness with all things, then you know there's no threat. You know that you're one with all, and there's always a backup. There's always a friend, a brother, a sister, a lover, beloved, who is there to hold your hands to get you through it. That was Reverend Deborah Johnson. And that was Valerie Joyce. And the title of that wonderful piece is Unity. And because of the unity that I'm talking about, right now the show can flow without a ditch, and we can glow in love. Life is good. It's getting better. Welcome home. Welcome to your soul appointment. To find out more about Valerie Joy, go to ValerieJOI.com. To find out more about Reverend Deborah Johnson, just tune in on Wednesday. In the meantime, you can go to innerlightministries.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning. Thank you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you recognize, you remember your unity with all things. So, Celeste, if you're going to break in, you're saying something about my volume? I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me? We have it.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, your volume is a little low. Hi, how you doing? We need you to come closer.
Okay, you need
and,
to come
and
let's try
yes,
this approach.
Yes, please. Yeah.
It's one
come
of
closer.
Those moon days. Okay, am I close enough?
You're close, but there's some, like, crackling sound a little bit, like it sounds like you're moving around.
We're going to work it out. So the crackling is interfering with the conversation?
You was crackling. It was like you were dancing, trying to talk to us, like you were still feeling that Reverend Deborah Johnson vibe. And I know she's electric, but... Wooga 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 no.
I know right.
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, it's gonna get better.
You sound better.
Okay. Thank you, New Jays. Thank you, Yvette. And I need to do some kind of switching over here because you know we had some technical stuff we didn't want to tell folks, but you know sometimes we just talk too much and tell people everything. Well, we don't tell you everything. That's not true, but we tell you almost everything, or everything that you need to know. All right.
But they're our family. They're holding us. Group hug, everybody. We're gonna have a great show.
Teletubbies again. Teletubbies.
Teletubbies. Watch it.
Goodbye.
I can't take this.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, Lord. Thank God for our ancestors, the guides, who are holding things down, because on the physical plane, you're going to mess up, okay? You're going to screw up. You're going to flip up. But, you know, when you trust the process, you just love, you grow with it and flow with it. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I am your host. The I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as me, as more, as Life Coach Ade, as Ade Anifowishe. There's so much to talk about, so much to tell you about. My brother will be in the house real soon. Don Wolf Ade. Now, I won't do his impression yet. I'll wait for him to come. But anyway, we're going to do some, I need to do something over here. But in the meantime, I want to welcome all of you. Thank you for having my back, for letting me know that all is well. Denise Yvette. I like that name. Earthwebs in the house. Koya. Silent listeners disguised as guests. New Jace Jackie. Yvette. Cote is in the house. Celeste Morgan is in the house. Lori is in the house. Everybody's in the house. And those of you we can't see, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for those who are listening on the phone lines. And, of course, we can't forget those of you in the archive. Thank you for tuning in. And just as important, our within radio listeners, we appreciate you. All of us that are represented by the word we, we appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. The theme, the topic, the conversation for today is sacred rituals from the peace pipe to the front porch. Send the prayer up into the ethers. Watch your prayer being lifted up. Speak your word. Take a deep breath. And know that it's been received in the spirit realm, which is where transformation really takes place, which is where prayers are answered. So it is your responsibility to connect with the other side. There's really no other side. It's the other side to the mind. But in truth, you are one with that side. As a matter of fact, you are that side. You are the spirit. You are your ancestors in the flesh today. You're one with them, and nothing can separate you from them. It's impossible. Science can't separate you from them. Religion can't separate you from your ancestors. Not even spirituality. Not even your mind. You can think you're separated, but the fact that you can think that you're separated is a power that is in you that allows you to create that illusion. So you may feel like, well, I'm in control of what's going on over here. You know, it's like a little child. You've got to give them some room to play. Yes, we're going to have a conversation. My brother is going to be joining us, Don Wolf. And I love the line and the lyrics of where Reverend Deborah said, I don't have to love you to like you. Woo, chew on that for a minute. Nowadays, we've got so much going on. We're waking up. The light is getting brighter and brighter. And we're seeing areas of humanity, areas of life that needs to be healed. Sometimes we get caught up by what we see. We get caught up in it, and we blame, judge, criticize, rather than reminding ourselves, oh, I see that because I'm shining the light on it. Let me keep that going. Let me keep the healing going. Because, you know, think about this. You have a choice. Woo-wee. You have a choice. Clear your throat. Okay, deep truth is coming through. That's why I have to clear my throat. No, don't do it. So anyway, you know, when we say we are one with everything, when we say we are one, we are all brothers and sisters, we're interconnected. Do you know that means you are one with all things and all idea? No separation. No separation. So today's show, today's conversation is about reminding us sometimes for those of you who are regular listeners, it could be like preaching to the choir. Two things I have to say about that. Sometimes the choir gets so used to the message that they need to be reminded. And sometimes, well, actually maybe three things. And the choir need to be inspired and activated so they can sing the song of love to the rest of the world. And then there are other people who join the choir to say, oh, y'all got some harmony going on here. Let me come check out what y'all are doing. So really, truth is never old. It's always alive. It will always transform you from where you are to where you want to be. Okay. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we've got some announcements. I guess this is a good time to do it because once I start talking to my brother, we're going to go deep. So you need to call your loved ones. Boy, what's really going on? you need to call your loved ones and tell them, I'm going in. I'm going to a place where no man, no woman has been before. So don't disturb me. You can't really, because if you call me, I won't hear you because I'm listening to a deeper voice. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346 is the number. This month, let me bring on Celeste, and she's going to give an announcement. But things sort of change a bit here, so just bear with me. But I want to tell you that this month, the theme is Nothing Matters and Everything Does. And if you want to find out more about that, what that means, join me tomorrow, because I'm going to break it down. Nothing matters, so relax. And everything does. And tomorrow, Celeste is the chaperone because I'm going to drive the bus, and Celeste is going to be the chaperone. We're going on a field trip, aren't we, Celeste? Make sure you have your water, your snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, family, we have a really special field trip coming up tomorrow. Get ready for this. So the Ask Life Coach A Day radio show is going to air at 1 p.m. tomorrow. Take note of that. I will say it again later towards the show. We are going to start on the Ask Life Coach A Day radio show at 1 p.m. Why? We're taking a field trip to HayHouseRadio.com. Life Coach A Day is one of the panelists on the Aries panel on Mark Husson's The Master Astrologer's Power Peak Hour tomorrow on HayHouseRadio.com. That show starts at 12. So we're going to bring all of our family and friends over there to support Life Coach A Day and have a good time getting to all his business. Anything you wanted to know about Life Coach A Day, and I know there are people who will call up. Donna, I don't know where you are. Girl, this is the show you want to listen to. All his business, all that Aries business is going to be aired in a loving environment with Mark Husson, who's really a brother to Life Coach A Day. So there's no telling what Mark is going to get out of a day on Hay House Radio. So, yes, we're going to be driving. Life Coach A Day is going to be driving the bus. I'll be your chaperone. I'll make sure you have lots of snacks. And then we'll make sure we guide you right back home at 1 o'clock right here on the Ask Life Coach A Day radio show Tuesday. Very excited about this field trip. And I will make sure I post all sorts of announcements. You guys will know where to go. We all know where to go because Nothing Matters thing does. Mm-hmm. That's what he's going to come home and bring to us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. How's that like?
That's great. You are amazing. You know, that's why you're on the show. But, you know, Mark and the rest of the panel, we met yesterday on the phone. And, oh, my God, y'all getting ready to get burned up by the Aries fire. Louis and Tina and Mark and myself. Oh, my God, we had such a great – we were supposed to meet for, like, 15 minutes, and we talked for, like, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. Yeah, and, you know, three Aries in the room. Good Lord.
Right.
Jesus. That's like, okay, pull back and join in. Anyway, that's Hay House. We got this lesson. She's going to post the information on Facebook page, and if you're not friends with us, be friends with us, or click the like pages. Ask.
If you're not friends with us, why not?
I know, you're missing out. You're missing out. So, okay, so this is what we're going to do, because I need to really take care of something technically here. So I'm going to play a quick, actually, let me see.
What, you want me to sing? I'm just kidding.
Huh? I want, you said what?
You want me to sing a song? You want me to sing a song? No, just kidding. Go ahead.
Not today. Not today. I don't want to stress you because you're going to have a lot of work to do. I know you're an amazing singer. If you start singing, people will be falling out because they're being healed.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the announcement, and right after the announcement, I am going to play a quick song, or maybe, you know, work some of that, and then we'll bring on Don Wolf, who's standing by. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad, and if you don't know what's going on, read the description and invite folks to come and listen. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. It's time for the lady with the soap voice, the one you're listening to, not me, Celeste.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Ade, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all of the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Ade. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Ade can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Ade button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1. For Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. If you have questions or thoughts for upcoming shows for Life Coach Ade, you can email them to ask@lifecoachade.com. The theme for the month of April is Nothing Matters and Everything Does. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Mbasa Safara for the Play Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade on the last Wednesday of the month. And don't forget to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. The Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to InspireBroadcasting.com. Breaking news. We are still having the Sounds of Soul with the Danny Feloce Party on the Sounds of Soul page on Facebook at 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday nights. Be on the lookout for a link and instructions of where to find the party and the chat room. We'll be sure to keep you updated. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Ade.
Thank you, lady with the voice. The lady with the silk voice. I got to get that right. She's got the silk in her voice. I don't know how she does it. No, I'm not going to say that. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We got it sorted out. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Yes, life is good. Speaking of thank goodness and thank godness, why do people trip with when you say, oh, my God? They can't say, oh, my God. What's that about? Okay, I'm not a Catholic or all the other stuff, but I just don't get it. Why are you so afraid to recognize who or what you are? Maybe we'll drop that into the conversation. I don't get it. Or talk about calling God's name in vain. God wants you to call on her. I am here for you always. Y'all better wake up and smell the love and the roses and the coffee. All right, I think I got myself together now. It's kind of rough today, but we can ride the wave and surf the wave. because it's all part of the ocean of devotion, of transformation, and we are ready to bring on my brother. Once again, though, we want to bring on the lady with a silk voice. Celeste, tell us a little bit about Don Wolf.
I can't tell you a little bit about Don Wolf.
I know, right? I know, right? I know, right?
But he is a personal friend of mine, and has just really moved me through all my 20s. Everybody needs a Don Wolf in their life in their 20s. Trust that. And it's been a wonderful journey. But let me let you know more about him. Gregory E. Woods, Don Wolf, is a musician, writer, a social activist, and a keeper of stories. He is also an experienced teacher, facilitator, who works with small groups, couples, individuals, and corporate groups using ancient wisdom, teaching, music, and storytelling as facilitation tools. Problem or conflict resolution is an area of expertise. In addition, he facilitates character development of at-risk urban youth through a rites of passage program. My work, he says, uses my perspectives as a man, father, grandfather, teacher, and entertainer to weave stories, rhythms, traditions, and truths into a framework for mental and spiritual growth. He draws on his African-American, Native American heritage for insight, as well as his personal travel experiences and study in the Orient, North and West Africa, and North America. Family, please meet Don Wolf.
I'd like to meet that guy.
Yes. Don't worry. I'm going to introduce you to him in a minute. Just keep listening.
Welcome home,
my brother.
Here we go.
Yes.
Greetings.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. It is nice to have you here. And, you know, just the way you rolled. You said, you sent me a tweet saying, hey, man, I want to be on your show. I know I'm with the brothers, but can we have a one-on-one? No, he doesn't. He doesn't know what a tweet is. But now if you want to hang out in the woods with him and catch the real signals, the real Wi-Fi, he'll be right there. You sit next to Don Wolf, and you don't have to open your mouth. He'll be like, mm-hmm, yeah, that's right. Stop thinking that thought. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing well. Life is coursing through my veins with ease and no obstructions.
Yes. You know what I want to do? I want to read the description for today's show for listeners, for those who haven't read it, just to kind of lay the foundation. And even though we're starting a little bit later than I had planned, but I trust the process. So let me read that now. Let me pull that up right here. Here we go. Where do we start? We start from here. Sabonfu Sume once said, what food is to our body, ritual is to our soul. A ritual keeps us connected to our spirit, our soul, and our purpose. Our ancestors were aware that the sacred rituals were the answer to end human suffering, challenges, and healing relationship issues. We must transcend to recognize the power behind the power, and rituals guide us by navigating us towards wholeness. The peace pipe is ancient, and the front porch is modern. How we utilize these tools will help us tap into ancient wisdom so that we might apply these tools in our modern times. That's why I have my brother here. So much going on, and we want to pull in, we want to activate that ancient wisdom that is within us and embody it so we can be the personification of truth, of love, in action, of compassion. And I want to hear your thoughts about the description, Don Wolf. But before we do that, I got to ask you this question. You know the question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Who are you? Who is Don Wolf, Gregory E. Woods?
You see that brother over there running? Oh, that's not my song. Who is one of those people that came from the stars? And I know the story that goes with it. And being from one of those star people, I'm full of light. Always have been. I've understood the course of how light can dim and submit to darkness. But even then, I was full of light. So you asked me that question right now, and I will tell you that I am light. I would also quote Walt Whitman, I believe. I think he was the one that said this, but he said that I am large, I contradict myself, I contain multiples. Mm-hmm. You put that in your pipe.
I know that's right. I know that's right. I know that is right. I know. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, I feel like life is, you know, there's a lot of paradox, and sometimes it messes with the head. It messes with the mind. And if we operate with, well, if we dance with life, should I say, we dance with life, and we just look at life or experience life through our intellect, we can really get ourselves in some stuff. So today, let's go. So what I want to ask you is a description today. It's about really tapping into, connecting into that sacred realm, where we connect with our star people, where we recognize, and through that connection, we get to be or download the answer to human suffering, the separation that happens based on politics, religion, sexual orientation, and all the other stuff that we create to really excite ourselves. So I want to hear your thoughts about the description. That's just where I'm led to go, and then we'll go even deeper.
The description you read when you started?
Yes.
The pipe
yes.
and the porch? Well, I believe I've said it a few times when I've been on air with you that I'm sitting with my pipe. And my prayer pipe is just a prayer pipe, meaning that it's a symbol of connections. I can't think of a party that I've been in a number of parties where folks get around together, and they always are smug making jokes about the native peace pipes, claiming that the pipes were used for smoking marijuana. And it's not true, but what I hear in their voices often is they're trying to find a way to joke off their lack of connection. The tobacco, I don't want to tell you a long story about it, but very briefly, the sacred prayer pipe connects two things together. It connects the male and the female together, and that's how we say that's horizontal. Vertically, the smoke that rises up from the pipe when you're smoking and you're in prayer, you're in ritual, or you're in healing ceremony, it's taking the intent, the essence of the person's life up to the Creator, and it's moving a vertical thing, vertical direction. So you have a vertical and a horizontal together. You have the bowl and the stem that come together. It's a joint of the male and the female. And then when you're doing an offering with a pipe, before you even smoke it, you point into each of the directions, and the directions themselves have their own keepers. They have their own teachings there, the cardinal directions, the teachings that are not the teachings, the energies that are being asked or being honored first and asked to come into play are in this very simple ritual of preparing, presenting, and praying with your pipe. And the porch, as I was told by some older folks, was as an African, comes from African traditions, and the sitting on the porch was a social thing that is carried over into modern times. And the porch or is just as important as the pipe, because the porch gathers the way, not the way, but the porch gathers, the pipe gathers, the porch gathers people to come and sit and look from the front of their house outward into the world to engage people who are going by or neighbors who are sitting on their porch. And the pipe is pulling all the elements, all the directions. It's pulling all the elements together to come together to work in concert with the person who is holding the pipe. And of the people who hold the pipes, there are two kinds. There are the people who, like myself, who are not pipe keepers, but I use the pipe responsibly. I'm responsible for others. And then there's those people who were called and recognized by their people as being pipe carriers, and that's a very sacred role. And there's tradition that goes with that. That's the background, as I know it, of the pipe and the porch.
There are many places I want to go with that, but I want you to kind of, if you can, tell us a little bit about pipe keepers, because you said you're not a pipe keeper, but you use the pipe responsibly. Can you kind of explain to some who don't know what that means, and also the pipe carriers?
The pipe keeper or the pipe carriers, both. They're the same. They're the same.
Okay.
And the they have a spiritual responsibility. And their connection with the pipe is, I'm trying to find the right way to say this. Let me just speak about the spiritual responsibility. The spiritual responsibility of a pipe carrier is a lifelong thing. And they're, like I know from sitting with an elder of the Ojibwe some years ago, he spent quite a bit of time explaining that the Ojibwe people, there's a very long time of tutelage. So much study goes in to learning the ways, the medicine ways of the people, of the pipe, what you're responsible for and how to take care of the people's needs physically, spiritually, emotionally, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, I hate to use the comparison, but it's kind of like, no, I'm not even going to say kind of like, a pipe carrier is a holy person who's responsible for the people. The pipe itself, their ritual that goes with it, their ceremony that goes with it. And this connects you, if you're called to be a pipe connector, it connects you deeply into the earth, and it connects you intimately with that which moves into the air. So if I, for example, have a need, I'm going to approach a pipe carrier that I know. And he's also a sun dancer, but I'm going to approach him and because there's something that I need for my family, and I need outside help. And the correct way to approach him, out of respect for his position and for the medicine that he carries, because pipe carriers have to develop it, but they carry very strong medicine or powers. And I have to approach him very simply, humbly, with tobacco. I can't do it any other way. Give him the tobacco and make my request, he's going to sit with it however many days he dictates. It could be 4 days. And he sits with it, and he communes and talks to spirit. He talks to the medicine of his pipe. And whatever he has to speak to, he's going to get an answer, and he's going to come and tell me an answer. And if he does the work for me, he's sitting with the sacred tobacco and any of the other sacred items that go along with the pipe. Now, a personal pipe operates personally because, I'll just tell you for myself, because I don't know how others use their pipe. For myself, my pipe was made in such a fashion that it cannot be separated. So it requires me to continually, at some part of my being, to be in a state of prayer, because my pipe does not separate. And the male and the female, the bowl and the stem, are always joined together. And when I bring them to life by putting tobacco or combinations with tobacco, combination of herbs with tobacco, to sit and to do my prayers in the morning, or if someone's and has some type of need that I have a feeling I can help through from a distance, I'm going to sit with my pipe. I'm going to do the prayers. Because the pipe, in a nutshell, if I could use that phrase, is alive.
I know, right?
It vibrates. It's a living thing. It's as alive as the drums that I have. And so, to sum it in a fashion, the pipe is a living being, and the questions when you approach it are the same questions you have when you approach any other living being.
You know, I'm smiling as I listen to you, because as you explain, what I see is the times you listen to the show when you're not a guest, you're not a guest, but you know what I mean. You know, when we're having a conversation with the brothers, when you're just listening, I just saw that while you're listening and you have your peace pipe, you actually praying with us for us during the show. And I know this to be true, that the show, people tell me that was a great show, and I feel the energy. Yes, it's a great show, but I believe that we're all contributing it to it. And you are holding the prayer for High Watch when the conversation is happening. And so for that, I say thank you. Thank you for being part of the show when you are holding a prayer. And it's such a beautiful thing to hear what you're saying, because, you know, when I think of the porch, I also think of it as a place for connection, a place where folks back in the day will walk by and just, they weren't planning to stop, but they see somebody they know and they sit down and chat, or maybe just stand there and chat for a minute. But that place where they connect. Now the front porch has become social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all LinkedIn and all the others. And for me, it reflects the deep, deep desire for us to connect. Now, there's a lot going on, and you talk about the pipe honoring the male and the female. And I think most of the human suffering is because we are learning to honor the male and the female energy within ourselves, particularly in relationships. There's so many things that I see, that I read about, that I hear, that I'm just like, wow, we got to wake up. Now, I want to ask you, when you talk about rituals, what do you see as missing right now that we need to remember? And what do you see that people are doing, which is tapping into that ancient wisdom of the importance of rituals? So the question is, what are the things we're not doing that you think we can awaken to do more of in order to heal what we're moving through? And what is it that we're doing now that you think we need to keep doing because it connects us to the spirit world?
There's a something I want to read from the author of Introduction to African Religion. John S. Mbeti said, "Rituals make us no longer passive beings in the cosmos, but we become creative agents of existence. Rituals generate a sense of certainty and familiarity. They provide continuity among those who perform or attend them. In turn, people find a degree of identity through its common observance and experience." Now, the first question was about what people are, or I should say, what we are not doing. Am I correct?
Right.
The ritual?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing I notice, we have to understand what ritual is. We're talking about rituals that are designed to connect us. One of the things, if you look at it one way, it's kind of amusing. If you look at it another way, you're like, oh boy, that's going to be trouble. But I noticed a lot of intellectualizing of spiritual processes, and it creates the headless horseman, where the head is separated from the heart. There's so much action, so much movement going on, but the person is running through the forest at night with their head in their hands, and they're essentially like a headless horseman. They're doing the right things, But there's so much movement and activity, they cannot be still. And there's always, not always, but there's often, I've noticed, there's often anxiousness to get to the end of it. And I believe it's a trained response. If you look to my generation, when my first marriage died, it was dying, I met this old woman in D.C. at night. It was dark. She was very apparent that she was disoriented and lost. And I walked up to her and found out she was, and I realized I couldn't give her a direction because something was a little bit off. So I said, "Where do you live?" Mm-hmm. And then I stopped what I was doing and just got on the bus, and I rode the bus, the train, wherever I had to do, and took her right to her street. She said, "Oh, I live mm-hmm. here." Then she turned to me and she said, mm-hmm. "What can I do for you, young man?" I said, "Well, I'm not looking for anything. I just want to make sure you got home because I know that you have children," because she had talked about her family. And she says, "No, I want to do something for you." And, mm-hmm. and I stood there because this is an old woman. She's a grandmother. And she lived in the hood, I remember. She lived in, I can see it in my head. And she said, "Are you married?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, but we're separated. We're going to divorce." And there was a great sadness in my voice when I said it. And I saw it mm-hmm. reflected in her eyes. And then she said to me, she said, "How old is your wife?" I told her. She said, "Understand this. Maybe this will comfort you some, but you need to understand that she is of the first generation that was raised on television. And if you pay attention to her, you will notice that she watches soap operas. I don't even have to ask which one, but if you listen to her and think about it, the show that she watches," she said, "What are they?" I told her. She said, "You can tell by her behavior and her beliefs what come out of her mouth who her favorite characters are, because she is subconsciously dictating her life around that character or two." My mouth fell open because she was telling the truth. So this opened up a lot to me. I thanked her profusely because she had given me a gift. So here's a contribution to the answer of a question that you asked about what was missing. It was the deep inside, the knowing that there has to be an exchange. Often we're going to our churches, we're doing prayers, and there's often the expectation of, okay, I got a laundry list. But there's not the practice of leaving offerings.
No.
Sounds simple, but it's not a national practice in the United States. That's why you will find pastors standing up and deacons standing up in front of churches every Sunday, every time there's a coming together, trying to be more and more creative to convince people to give tithes and offerings. It's not deeply embedded in the spirit to give. What that old woman did was do a very old tradition. I gave of my time and took care of her and made sure that she was safe, got her to her destination, and in exchange, she gave me an offering. Very simple thing. But it's a very important thing, but it's often missing. And discovering why that's missing, why it's important, the individual has to understand why, because that's how nature functions. That's how that's how life functions. It's give and take, it's offering, it's expansion, it's contraction, it's flexibility, it's flowing, it's inflexibility, it's standing still. These are exchanges. These are alternating forms. And we're living in a time where we can be smug and arrogant enough to assume that we're outside of this process because we have created technology that pulls us, we think, into our head, but it's actually pulling us into the realms of the unseen. And so the simple practices and simple spiritual practices are, they're there, but they're not, they haven't wrapped around many of our, particularly our young people, those who are under 40 and 30. It hasn't particularly wrapped around in around them, inside of them, so that they're creating, I want to give you a picture of a farmer planting. Planting the seed is the best thing. That's how we operate on our life. Are we planting seeds? And so the ritual of planting seeds, watering, is not part of many people's lives. And as you can tell by what keeps coming to them. And even when they sit down and pray in Jesus' name and they're hauling over benches and pews and, oh, I got to go preach, all that. What? Why doesn't this come back? So I might have said too much, but I was trying to paint the picture so that the picture stays of the simplicity of the old woman, the young man. Young man makes sure the old woman got home because she was disoriented in her own town. And now the second question.
Well, actually, don't answer the second question yet because we're going to be taking a break soon. But what I want to ask, we'll answer the second question. And as you're talking, I'm thinking, I know not to ask the wolf two questions at once. I mean, come on nowadays. So what we're going to do is the other question we're going to do after we come back after Celestial Moment. But what I want to ask you before we take the break is, so that offering, real quick, and just give us some things that we can do that represents the offering that we're talking about, so that, you know, people can start looking in their own lives, like, where am I not giving offering? How can I give offering? What is the offering that Don Wolf is talking about? So what are the things we can do?
You can, every meal that you eat, the first portion of it, you pull it aside and you offer it to the earth in deep gratitude, mm-hmm. because the earth has given you food. This person has cooked your food. This person shopped for you. And you leave those offerings in your front yard. You leave it in the plant. That's what I'm talking about. I did this. This is how I did this ritual as a child. I was a young father. Had no insurance. Had a little piece of a job. I had children and a wife. And I was scared a lot. But I knew that I was living upon the earth. So every meal I ever had, I would leave a portion, and I would go outside, and I would stand there barefooted, and I would leave an offering of food. It's very old. Every tribe in the world does it in some kind of way. And the returns always boggled my mind. I had people who were out of the blue, who remained in the shadows, who would suddenly appear in my worst emergencies, and they would pay bills for me, and I would never knew who these people were. All kind of things would start happening because I had entered into a relationship.
Let me jump in here. I want to ask you this question because I can kind of hear this kind of question. Okay, so you said offering the food to the ground, but what about somebody who lives in an apartment saying, I like what you're talking about, Don Wolf, but if I try and do that, by the time I get downstairs and come back, the food is gone. What? Oh, I ain't trying to put that on my carpet, you know.
No, now, not the carpet. You can have a pot of dirt in your house.
Ah,
I always keep a pot of dirt in my house when I had an apartment. You can always. It's the action. It's what's in your heart that comes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wear beads and feathers. Put on loincloth.
You can do that too.
But don't do it. Don't do it around them white folks. Black folks might come over to you and ask what you're smoking. Black folks will call 911. Don't do that around people who are educated. Don't do it around educated folks. They will panic. These are humble people. They're going to come over to you, and they might help you do something. But
okay, real quick, because we're going to take a break in a few seconds. You going to say something, Don Wolf? Or you were waiting for me?
No, I was thinking, but I
Listen.
Said, baby, I better not say that.
Okay, I can feel it. I'm like, it's like I'm looking at you. You want to say something? I'm like, hello, I'm waiting. Okay, so I let sit with that. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna bring on Celeste, and we'll take a break. And you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. Today's theme, today's conversation is sacred rituals from the peace pipe to the front porch. My brother, who you're listening to, is Don Wolf. Gregory E. Woods, he's a keeper of story, and he goes deep. And that's why I want him to bring him here to, you know, some of what he's saying is going to go beyond your intellect, thank goodness, so that your soul can really hear it, and then you get to understand the language of your soul, because this journey of spirituality is more than an intellectual thing. Sometimes Western spirituality is about from the head up, but it's time to go deeper. We're waking up, and the real healing, the real expression of wholeness is like marrying the head with the heart. And you can tell when people are walking or living from that space, when they're coming from their heart and their head together, their conversation is different. Sometimes they don't even have to tell you anything. And Don Wolf is one of that. He will challenge your way of thinking, and it will help you see yourself differently. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And the great thing about having Don Wolf here, make sure you press 1 on your keypad. I need to tell you that. But the great thing about having him this month is the theme for the month is nothing matters and everything does. And you get to play around with the no thing that is everything. That's what matters. And through your sacred rituals, you get to go beyond your intellect. You get to go beyond, I know I need to meditate. I can't meditate. I don't know how to pray. I don't know a chant. You get to go beyond that. Because what we're calling new thought, new age, and all the stuff that we're coming at right now, it's simply ancient wisdom, and it lives in your DNA. We're creating a platform to remind you, for you to remind yourself that your ancestors, that spirit lives in you as you. What's up, giggler?
You know why I'm giggling? Because we should have warned. We should have warned the listening audience about trickster energy.
No. See, that's the intellectual agent talking. We when the elders are doing, when they warn you, you just sit down there around the fire. And you're sitting there, what are they going to do? What is that in that bag? I wonder what's that smell? And they don't tell you. No.
But I'm going to tell you, I love that trickster. And I think that we don't have a lot of ways of really seeing it so well done. You know, you're going down one road, you think you're hearing something, and then Don Wolf, for as long as I have known him, yes, will test my listening skills to see if I'm catching the trick or not. So if I'm too in my head, I'm coming at him straight, all my academia, all the professors that I ever heard, and one of the beautiful gifts that he has given me through his beautiful trickster energy on top of being keeper of stories and everything else is forcing me to go into my heart through laughter. And I have to go, wait a minute, what did you say? And then that deep throat is, you know, I've learned so many lessons that way. And I'm sitting up here, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm laughing so hard. And that means that my heart and my mind are connected when I can catch it, flow with it, and grow with it. I just had to share that. It's a beautiful dance between the both of you. You know, you represent. Mm-hmm. You represent masculinity in such a way. It's like I'm watching two warriors, you know, chilling. You know, you've had your long battles. You're like, we're going to chill. We're going to talk about the peace pipe. Pass that over here. Okay, I'm done.
You know,
Friday trip almost came out.
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, what you just brought up is that, you know, this conversation for me, it's like the front porch. We all gather in the front porch, and we're sharing ideas. We're having our mind. My mind is expanding. I mean, I'm smiling here. I'm shaking my head as I listen to Don Wolf. And, you know, I honor that man. I honor him. He's a wonderful elder. And I love, you know, because real growth is where when you allow your mind to be tricked, when you don't even know the answer, when you have to, like, what just happened? There's got to be you got to be able to stretch to really know that you're growing. And I am grateful for the people that I know, the community that I'm in. So with that, I think it's time for intro. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
Over to you.
Great. Thank you. I know that you guys are enjoying this amazing conversation between Don Wolf and Life Coach today. And guess what? We have more in store for you. A lineup of spectacular shows on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Now remember, tomorrow, the Ask Life Coach Today radio show will be airing at 1 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you take note. Now, at noon, we're taking a field trip. We are going to be joining Life Coach Today, who will be on Mark Husson's Power Peak Aries panel on HeyHouseRadio.com. Mark Husson is a master astrologer. He's of 1-2 radio, but we are going to be checking out this fierce Aries panel, All That Fire, at HeyHouseRadio.com tomorrow at noon. Then we will come back to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show at 1 p.m. Eastern for Nothing Matters and Everything Does. And then on Wednesday, Reverend Deborah Johnson of Inner Light Ministries will be in the house for a consciousness-expanding dialogue about being enough. So make sure you don't miss these powerful shows, because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Husson, founder of 1-2Radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org, or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Dick-a-doodle, shortbread, budgie nut bar. How many cheeks? snickerdoodle shortbread, such nut bars, ham and cheese in the cookie jar. One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the community.
That's it, the beloved community. We are one. We're waking you up, reminding you that you are part of a global something I'm hearing. A global what? I guess a global community. I heard global. I don't know. Global something? I guess global. I'll make it up. We are truly one, and you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. It is time now for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and then we will continue the conversation with Don Wolf, a.k.a. Gregory E. Woods, Keepers of Stories. Right now, we're going to have Celeste for the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. Welcome back.
It's great to be back. I'm dedicating this Celestial Moment to the brother who called last night, Amun. If you're out there listening, thank you for inspiring this Celestial Moment. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and I trust that you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 9. The number 9 is ruled by Mars. 9 also shows up as the butterfly in medicine cards, and it offers the gift of transformation. 9 is the sacred number of Oya, mother of 9, who is the Orisha of lightning and change. And we find the Hermit of Tarot, connecting us to spiritual wisdom and healing. Now today we're going to put the spotlight on the blue heron of the medicine cards. Its number is not 9, it's actually 45. But when you add 4 plus 5, you get 9. So here we go. Thank you, sacred water bird, for sending reflections to me, the mirrors of the quest for life, the worlds that live inside of me. Show me how relationships work with my path woven within the whole. The lessons of kinship with all life reflecting my spirit's eternal goal. The blue heron gift is self-reflection. It's about an honest inventory of our intentions, thoughts, and actions as we connect to our universal families. But first, we must see ourselves. Our life experiences are a reflection of our inner life. Some experiences provide confirmation for our life's path, while other experiences remind us to grow. What is most important is that we see ourselves to make sure that we are in alignment with our own energetic flow to reflect the truth of our spirit, eternal goal. All is well, and that's the story of 9. So to our friend, the blue heron of the medicine cards, all is well. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. And yes, let's be back tomorrow. Sometimes around 1, we'll figure that out.
Okay.
Thank you, Celeste.
My pleasure.
Life is good. It's getting better. And the music, the song you're listening to is Destiny Muhammad, titled Grace. Amazing Grace. To find out more about Destiny Muhammad, what address is that? Destiny Muhammad. She's the harpist from the hood, touching your soul, waking you up. Listen to a song, listen to music that's full of harps. That can connect you with your heart. Yes. The number is 347-426-3346. My guest, my brother, my friend,
the elder in the house with us today is Don Wolf, and I'm bringing him back on. We have been talking about the peace pipes, how that honors the male and the female energy, talking about connection that is so needed, and I'm talking about heart-to-heart connection. We're talking about offering, remembering to offer back, to give back the flow, the circulation going. There's so many ways to offer and offer in. I mean, one of the things that I do, Don Wolf, when I am eating is in blessing my food. I just kind of imagine all that it took for that food to be on my plate. I think of people, the farmers, the people who harvested, all the people who worked, people who were working at maybe a minimum wage. And even if you went through a particular grocery store, the people who stocked it on the shelf, all those people contributed for it to be on my table for me to eat. So when I listen to you talk about offering, I hear, what I hear is the importance for us to recognize that so much is happening that we are not always conscious of, and it's a way of getting us out of taking life for granted and recognize that we're part of a vast community. And so thank you for what you've shared so far. Now, I do have the other part of the question, but I want to ask you if there's anything that was coming up for you, bubbling up for you, that you want to share before we talk about the second part of the question I asked you before the break.
Well, there's a prayer given to me, Spirit gave me a long time ago, that I want to give as a gift, and it's very simple. In addition to ritual, there's also cleansing. And cleansing rituals are very important because we're always walking into thousands of people's energy, and not all that energy is good for us. And so the words have life. So Spirit gave me this a long time ago, and I didn't share it, but I wanted to share this. I anoint my feet to walk where I can do the most good for lives. I anoint my hands to heal. I anoint my eyes to probe, to know, to see. I anoint my voice to speak trust into the heart, power into the life, vision to the blind, strength to the unbelieving and weak. I anoint myself to be a receptacle for the mystery, the above person, the unknowable, unknown. And this prayer you say, and put your body into a position that you are comfortable with. You could be lying down, you could be standing naked outdoors, which I highly recommend. Any position. But you speak the words that will cleanse and then go into whatever your cleansing rituals are.
Let me ask you this. I know you've sort of spoken to it, but in a very simple way, and we'll come back to that other question in a minute, speaking of being triggered, how would you define rituals in the simplest term, and why is it important? Just in a very simple way.
A very simple way? let me just sit back here. And
whatever you consider
it
to be simple.
according to the prognosis of mononucleosis and in-depth theory, you don't want me to go there, do you? Something simple.
Yes, go ahead.
I think the simplest way to describe ritual is, what do you do that restores, that gives life on a daily basis? That's what I would, that's the simplest way I could say.
Move with that to the second part of my question that I asked you before the break. What are some of the rituals that people are practicing now that's worth highlighting, shining the light on?
That is for the good?
Yes. Always. That's what it's about. I am not interested in a sanctuary and a bullshit. Always for the good.
Well, church is one.
Mm-hmm.
I know it, and listeners have heard my criticism of the church, but church is one. Because whatever reason you go there, you are, the form of church puts you into awareness of that which is beyond yourself, and it connects you with other people who are at different levels of their own personal growth. And church requires you to, even if you're a gossip and you're mean-spirited or you are a saint and a prayer warrior, it requires you to constantly be sensitive to where others are spiritually and where they are in terms of how mature they are or are not. And that's one of the great benefits of church. And the I find it, if you had asked me this 20 years ago, it would have been easier, but I find it now difficult to answer that in the 20th century because adding to the short list of the gods of our culture has been, I don't want to use the word technology because technology I find fascinating, but most every person I speak to have limited the word technology to simply mean the development of the phone. And I'm fascinated with the technology in the different disciplines. And in fact, I had a scientist at my house yesterday afternoon. We sat in my backyard for 5 hours, and all the things that are happening in there are really the expansion of consciousness, spiritual awareness. So their scientists are expanding their knowledge and thus expanding the concept of technology by their understanding and relationship of spirituality and awareness. Most seem unaware of what's happening among the inventors and the creators. There's a narrow focus. And so I find it very difficult because I spend a lot of time with young people. I love walking and engaging, but the disconnect is so profound that I find myself paying attention to the predators and those who are the have-nots. I'm watching them, and I'm watching how they're coping with being excluded by large numbers of people on the trains, buses, and cities who are under the illusion that they are somehow better and because we're not really connected to you. Because the ritual of hello, the ritual of listening to who's walking around you, the ritual of acknowledging somebody's presence, the ritual of at a glance looking at the essence of somebody that you may or may not know are very difficult to spot because people are absorbed. They look down and they're watching what's in their hands. That's why it's very difficult. I could tell you some things that were pretty common, but now I'm paying attention, and my eye keeps focusing to those who feel like they're left out, the homeless, killers, thieves. I'm watching them, and I'm watching them create rituals to reach out so they can become part of something because they've been left out. And so I sometimes find myself in the position of a conduit because killers I understand, thieves I understand. I understand them, and I can move into their space, and I can engage them, and I can introduce them to a pattern of behavior, or rather a pattern of thought that would create the behavior for them to see themselves better. I find that's a very difficult question to answer because it's that we're in some kind of evolution right now. People are disengaging, mm-hmm. and the need to connect is as strong as ever. And so, I don't know how to answer that one. That's a tough one. Mm. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that one.
Well, what's the point? I mean, come on. We got to take it to places that, you know, got to expand you while you expand us now. We need each other.
You know, I got a little scared. I got a little nervous, you know. But they're but among children.
Wait, can't ask the questions. I don't know. Come on, man.
You know. But what I do find, the children have remained the same. The children are, the children, as you said earlier, I see more of the ancestors moving in the children, because the children are engaged, and the children are taking advantage of their parents' and guardians' distractions. And my wife came and picked me up. I was in the mountains this weekend, and then late at night, I'm at the metro, and this metro doesn't have a lot of light. And when Jan pulled up to get me, I was talking to these little kids, a brother and sister. They're about 5 and 6 years old. They were animated. They were looking at my medicine stick. And Jan said, "Where are their parents?" I said, "Well, the mother and her girlfriends are sitting away over there in the booth where the bus." She said, "They let you talk to them?" I said, "Of course." And so she just chuckled. But the kids, the ritual that the kids have maintained and haven't been taught out of was being curious and engaged. What they were doing, they discovered the color red in the semi-darkness, and they kept pressing this red button, and it kept sending off a bell. And we looked around, and none of the adults that weren't alive were going to talk to them, because people were afraid of talking to children because of the stuff on TV. Ooh, the boogeyman going to come. Well, about the fourth time I did it, I said, "Don't do that." They went, "What? What?" They look around, "Oh, my God, somebody spoke to us." And they walked over, "Can you see us? Can you see? You can see us?" I said, "Yeah, I can see you." "We're not invisible?" "No, you're not invisible. Don't touch that. That's an emergency button. See that camera right there? Somebody looking at you. The Wizard of Oz is in there, camera. He's looking at you. And if you press the button, he thinks something is wrong. He's going to send somebody out here." And they were, oh, and they ran back and told their mother. So every time the kids ran back, told their mother, and then all the women in that little bus stop turned around in unison and stared at me, but no one came out. Mm-hmm. I just stood there. Kids came back 3-4 times, and now they're engaged. The ritual was discovery. Return home, tell mommy or daddy. And then you get the feedback, but they got the encouragement, and they ran back in the dark. And the mothers looked at me, and they didn't turn around again, because somehow those women, these are not wealthy or well educated women, those women kept the ritual of seeing the essence of who's around their children. And there was about 6 women in there. Those women did not turn around again, because I looked. Because they knew, I see that man in the shadows, but his essence. So his mothers were teaching them a very old practice of protecting their children from afar. They knew how to do, those women knew how to do it with their spirit, and the kids were assured that it's safe to talk to that man that we just met who's standing there with the stick, the medicine stick with the fox tail and the feathers on it. And they came back the third time, and they were touching. They had to touch it. And I said, "You can touch it, but do it respectfully." So the other ritual is the passing on of there's a reciprocal relationship between the children who come from the world that I'm soon to go into. Mm-hmm. This is a very old exchange. And this, unfortunately, for many people, stopped after they had been taught to be afraid of the boogeyman. But this is the thing that that we all used to see until this century came in, and we have been, most of us have been arrested by fear. But those kids kept the tradition. So our question as adults: what do we do with that?
Right, right.
How do we keep this alive? Let that be our ritual.
Yes, and you know, you've taken me somewhere. I'm following you as you tell the story. I feel like we're walking down a path, and you've just like just gone straight to my heart, because when I think of children, they represent pure heart. They represent pure love, pure essence. And they're those of us who are learning to fall in love with our inner child, inner essence, the inner essence, that childlike quality. And there are some people who are not great parents to their inner child. So, of course, if you're afraid of your inner child because you think it's making you ashamed, or you're ashamed of your inner child, your inner essence, or you can't trust it because you might be somewhere else and suddenly you're going to start crying and you don't want people to think you're weak, then we end up projecting that on the children in the physical body. So there's a sort of disconnect that's happening. And for me, as I listen to you, it's like, how do we start the journey? How do we connect with our heart again to become a better parent to ourselves? So if there's anything that we think parents didn't do when we were younger, some people would say, I don't understand this whole thing about I chose my parents, because why would I choose a mother who's an addict? Why would I? But, well, whatever the case is, even if you don't agree with it, now you, since you know what you would have needed, why not give that to yourself? Because we have the power to give ourselves. Instead of criticize, judge what they didn't give you, and the only way to have that insight is because you think there's a better way. So if you focus more time and energy in giving yourself what you think your parents should have given you or didn't give you, then you can get to heal. You can just deal with the past. You can heal the past in the present, and then you can create a different future. We sometimes playing a victim is easy. It's easy. But I want to bring Celeste on because she got a question for us. She's like, you were in a house just starting fires and stuff. I got.
I'm nervous now.
I know, right? Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Let me sit down.
Let me see. Okay, here we go. Celeste, what's your question?
I'm right here enjoying the conversation. I do hear a slight echo, though. Want to let you know that.
Yeah, I think it's the ancestors are coming through Don Wolf's phone. Go ahead.
It's all those star people. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, yes, I do have a question, but I do have to share something from the chat room from a friend of Don Wolf's. Tanya Glowing Gooch from D.C. said these words, and I know that you guys want to hear it. She wrote, a touch, a hello, a how are you, humanity, the human touch. That's from Tanya, and that was her expression, what she was feeling as you guys were talking. And I also am going to be real shady and say hello to everybody, but my baby sister is on the line, and we've had sacred conversations with Don Wolf together, and I know she sends her love as well. So here is my question for the both of you, actually. So Don Wolf and Life Coach Today, the both of you have the element of fire connected to your astrological signs. Now, what impact does connecting with the elements have on understanding your spiritual journeys?
I know, right?
Woo-wee.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Celeste, I could take a jab. There had to be a woman asking that.
I know that's right.
Men never. I've never had a man ask a similar question. And I think the reason they comes from is because women are life givers, and their connection between fire and water and their wombs is. It can be overwhelming, or it can soothe you and move you out of insanity if you lost your cotton picking mind. But man, that's a good question. I'm gonna try to answer that by saying a number of answers came to me, but if I'm understanding the question, answering it personally, I do have my fire sign is very strong. And the fire challenged me to sit with water and transform over time through motion to become akin to, and then I began to be perceived as water for a long time. And I had to, because of the positions, the jobs that I had in life, I had to learn what to do with fire and water, because I have I got to be careful what I say on the radio because stuff gets recorded, but it happens in the spiritual realm anyway.
Mm-hmm. But
if a man like myself has the ability and the capacity to take life to protect others, the question that looms, and this is what my mother would present to me, was what elements do you use to balance it? So I had to study the properties of air and water. And in this, for me, the study of air and water over my 20s and my 30s pulled me deeper into the drum, which grounded me into the earth, because I can merge with the earth, but I can do it better with the air. So the simplest answer is I learned how to dance with these. But that might sound kind of mystical, but that's the language that I used in my 20s and 30s as I was growing and looking at what was dangerous inside of me. Because fire has the propensity to destroy and to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And how fire plays in different creation story, and how with water and earth and air, I had to make those things a part of me, because there's a part of me that's extremely dangerous. And I'm saying that for many of the men that were listening, and for the mothers who have sons who are very dangerous. I know it's not a popular topic, but it's a reality, and it's when I, as a man, have gone in to intervene between a man who's beating a woman, I have to know what to do with fire.
Mm-hmm.
I have to understand what
mm-hmm.
to do with water and how to use air to get someone to get grounded, or to put the person on the ground in Jesus' name with a broken jaw or something. But then you have to understand with men.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons why the myth of making the military right for women and men together is a ridiculous, absurd thing, because men who come into the service who are warriors, but they're scattered. They have to be broken down to become soldiers. You cannot break a woman down the way you break a man down, because if you break a woman down, you will create enormous psychological problems, because women and men are different. And this question is fundamental to who we are. I better stop there before I go into a topic.
It's funny, because when you were talking, I'm like, gosh, no, we'll be going deep. And he's going in, like Yvette would say. And you brought a thought. I would just say this. I don't know if it's happened, but I have heard of a woman going on a shooting spree who was once in the military or in the military and suffering from PTSD. Now, even though the military is the same, well, we're still trying to investigate and things like that happen. It's just like, come on now. You can't, I don't think, I've never been in the military, but from what I do know, I don't see how it's possible to take a life, or even if you didn't, to be in a place where life is taken and it not affect your psyche. So, but anyway, let's stay on point. For me, you know, first of all, learning my astrological sign as an Aries has helped me to find balance, because in the past, and some of this we'll talk more about on the show with Mark, and funny that Celeste is asking this question, because that was one of the things we talked about, Mark and the other panels, yesterday. But understanding that my astrological sign Aries is fiery, it's fire, has helped me be at peace with some of my way of being that I used to judge, and I judged it because it was judged by others. And I still, you know, I still have to pay attention, because sometimes when I'm assisting somebody, that fire can come. And through my own individual work, through training, through different things that I've done in the past, rituals, understand that sometimes, you know, the fire could be too intense. It's, you said, Don Wolf, that, you know, fire can destroy. So learning to dance, learning to take a breath, bringing myself back to the center, learning to drink some water when I feel confused, when I don't feel clear, when I'm mad, when I'm angry, to just flush all the, you know, to just, you know, smother the fire has helped me in so many ways. And I do believe that I can do more to ground myself, and I am, you know, part of the show changing is part of a major shift internally for me. But I understand that the most important thing for my soul salvation, for my freedom, is to understand that there is a me that transcends this physical body. And the more I pay attention to it, the more I listen to it, the more grounded I will be, the more, if you will, more effective I will be in my communication, in my relationships, in how I move through life. Because you talked about being mystical, but life is mystical. You know, scientists are really just putting, if you will, a physical evidence to something that is clear to the mind, to the heart. The heart knows. The intellect needs something physical to be able to see it and get it. So earlier when you were talking about technology, Don Wolf, I just Googled technology, and I looked for the simplest meaning and definition of technology. And it says the application of scientific knowledge for practical purposes. The application of scientific knowledge for practical purposes. So now I'll just say that from the Western mind, we think of science as something that a man does, a woman does, and, you know, they're proving to see if there's a God or the Big Bang Theory. Life itself is scientific. Life itself is the science. Everybody else, every one of us, is simply an interpreter for the scientific world that we're part of. So when you say, well, I only listen to science, it's you creating a sense of separation. Well, I only listen to what the Bible said. You're creating a sense of separation. Well, I only listen to, you know, people who are spiritual-minded and what the God in me is saying. You're creating a sense of separation. So for me, it's recognizing that it's all the same. And life itself is science. And individually, we are all interpreters of the knowledge that lives in us. As us. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. And
amen.
I see that. I see that time is doing what time does. It keeps moving. Let's see. Don Wolf. I'm just going to. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute you, and then when it's time for you to talk, I will unmute you because we get an echo through your phone. Because my producers are saying, hey, echo, I hear it. So here's what I want to ask you. You think about all the conversation we've had today, and maybe some that you thought of that you didn't share, the idea of offering as a way of ritual, offering back, giving back. You know, even if the offering is in the form of money to a church, to a spiritual center, to a place where you're getting your spiritual awareness. When we talk about honoring the male and the feminine energy, when we talk about sitting in a porch and reconnecting and facing the world and having a different point of view, understanding, recognizing that we all have a spiritual responsibility, and unless we show up, and if we are not in integrity with our spiritual responsibility, it has its own consequence. So when we just go through, you know, we're talking about the elements, we're talking about nature. If you were to summarize our conversation and leave our listeners with something that they can start applying in their lives or continue to highlight in their lives, what would it be? What would you want to leave our listeners with?
There was a young man in the mountains wandering, and he got lost at some point. He couldn't figure out how to get back to his village. And he come upon an old woman, and he asked the old woman to help him find his way back to his people. But he also hadn't eaten, and he was hungry, and he asked if she had any food that she could share. And she smiled, and she said, sure. And she goes into her bag to give him some food. And he looks in her bag, and he sees a precious stone. And he knew that if he had that stone, he wouldn't have to worry about anything the rest of his life. So precious was that stone. And he asked for it. The woman gives him the stone, and he takes the stone and takes her directions, and he takes her food, and he finds his way back home. Not too many days later, he finds the old woman in the mountains again, and she sees him and asks him, how are you? Are you lost again? He says, no, I came looking for you. And he gives her back the stone. He says, I'm giving this back to you. He said, in exchange, I would like you to give to me an answer. And then he looks at her and he says, what is it within you that so easily gave to me that which was so precious? That story right there is, I believe, and it belongs to whoever listened to it. This is one of those stories that grow inside of you, because that story addresses and answers the question and asks new questions about the relationship between giving and taking, receiving, offerings, prayers, et cetera, et cetera. The exchange between the young and the old, the spiritual responsibility of the elders to give to the young so that they can live deeper and better lives. Attachment to things. You can go on and on with that story. But that, in answer to your question, that's what I would give, was the story of the old woman with that precious stone.
Oh. Man, I got to tell you, I love you. I love you. I so appreciate who you are, how you show up on the planet. I am so grateful for our connection. I remember the first time I heard you and on Emilio's show. And the first time I heard you, there's just something about you that got my attention. And I think one of you told this story that could, when you started, like Celeste was saying earlier, you were telling this story, and as I'm listening, I'm thinking, yeah, racism, racism, racism. And by the time you finish, you flip that whole conversation. I'm like, damn, who is this man? And I truly are the keeper of stories. And you have a way of waking up what is precious inside of us. And I thank you for who you are, my brother. I thank you so much. You're going to be joining us again, I think it's sometime next week, with the rest with Kasembe Ashande, and we delve deeper, and Kelly, Joe Kelly. And just having another conversation. But thank you for who you are. Thank you for keeping the stories alive. Thank you for embracing the part of you that cannot be put in words, and you share that so freely. I honor you.
My brother, I love you to life, Ade.
Yes, 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 yes. Accept. Peace and blessings. Give my love to your wife.
I will. And if you don't mind, I'm going to sneak in a squeeze and my copper feel.
Hey, give my love to her. Whatever happens after that, that's between the both of y'all.
One day we'll meet. I'm looking forward to it. We can just sit down and break bread together. Then you get to meet Jan, and a lot of the questions you have about me be answered when you look and are in her presence. I have gifts, but my wife's gifts are stronger. If you see me, you see her. But if you see us together, you get a bigger picture. Because she's not a normal. Plus, she's fine. She make a hungry dog jump off a meat truck, you know. But
Now that's a good one. A homestyle jump off a meat truck. It's like, get that. Woo! She's fine.
I got to put up with that every cotton picking day. Wake up in the morning, hear songs going around me, look down at their face. My, oh, my God. Ooh, what did I do to get this every day? Oh, wait a minute, I just switched subjects. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, you signed another show. You signed another show, and we don't have time for that. So we'll continue next week.
Oh, man.
How to find a woman who makes a hot dog jumps out of a meat truck.
Man, that's a sermon and a book unto itself.
I know that's right. And a webisode, if not a TV show. All right, my brother.
All right, Peace brother. Thank you. Appreciate you. I love you to life.
Yes, I love you too, my brother. Woo! Life is good. It's getting better. You know, it's the simple conversations that make such a big... There's so many places I can go. I'm so full. I can feel my heart chakra just full, and just I feel this energy. And I would say we all need an elder in our lives. All of us, each and every one of us need an elder. You got to have somebody who can take you out of your mind, literally. Somebody who can remind you of to get you to tap into yourself so you can see yourself as this precious stone. So you can give, I don't know, so you can give freely. It doesn't matter. Once again, I'll say it, especially because that's one thing. I really believe as a society we've made money into a god. You know, we talk about, oh, it's not just about money, but sometimes people, it's not just about money. And in another post, in another conversation, I work hard for my money. And it's important because money is my own natural energy yield. So how attached are you to your own natural energy yield? Money, M-O-N-E-Y, my own natural energy yield. See, the paper, the coin, is really an exchange of energy. How freely do you exchange your energy? Are you hoarding of your energy? Are you giving energy back to life? Because life is giving energy to you. Are you part of the currency of life? If life is finding an outlet, are you available? Are you open? Or are you blocked? Are you dammed up? That's the question. Rituals. Reconnect. You know, the simple definition, really, of a ritual is something you do continuously, over and over, to achieve a certain result. What do you really want? What do you really want? What do you want to achieve? There are many rituals out there. Do you have an altar? Do you have a place where you recognize your ancestors? Do you have something in your life to remind you that you are part of a never-ending story? And even when you take off this cloak called the body, you're still alive. Do you have a ritual that you practice that takes you out of your mind? The answer to the challenges between male and female, romance, marriage, to the challenges, war, poverty, it's not outside there. It's inside you. Being able to touch somebody's life, being able to affirm your own life, and growing to a place where you step out of your own self. Because sometimes the spiritual path, we get so caught up in doing our own work. I'm working on myself. And you never get anywhere. You've got to find the balance between working with self and others. And in working with others and stretching and extending yourself to others, you get to work on yourself in the most simplest way, because you will get so much back. You know, whatever you choose to do, however you choose to be, remember that God is the only thing happening, and nothing matters and everything does. It's time to release the show. Some quick announcements here. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock,
I won't be on Live Conversations Radio. I will be on Hay House Radio with Mark Hudson and Louie and Tina, the Aries panel, talking about life as an Aries, as a fiery, in my case, a fiery brother. The good, the bad, the ugly. Or maybe I've just embraced it all. Make sure you join us. It's Hay House, H-A-Y, Hay House Radio, Louis Hay's home, virtual home, 12 p.m. Eastern. And then right after that, head on to Live Conversations Radio, where we continue the conversation on Nothing Matters and Everything Does. Ah, I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I want you to remember that you are a spirit dancer. You are here to dance the dance of life. And when you surrender to the dance of life, you will experience abundance beyond your wildest dreams. You will know life differently. You will know yourself differently. I invite you to be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. Your soul depends on it. And allow yourself to be loved. This is Underneath Me, that is, the music playing, Yvette. Underneath Me is Musiki Scales, Inside Joke. Spirit Dancer. You can find out more about Musiki Scales and the Common Ground Collective on Facebook. I love you. I thank you. Let's grow together. Let's love together. Let's create. Let's download Heaven on Earth. Dance. You are a spirit dancer. See you tomorrow on Live Conversations Radio at 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock on Hay House Radio. Why did I do it backwards? Because I wanted you to think. Peace and blessings.
By a circular motion, she has the power. This is her potion. You got the time, she'll inspire an ocean. Now's the time for you to get open. A coastal watch, she wears a crown. Be it home or in a new town. Men in attendance, they always bow down. Women adore the goddess they found.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.